A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. You get to choose your own music if you come on KSL's Unrivaled.
I don't get to choose my own music. I'm here every night.
Hey, listen. I've put in a couple of these. I put in like a... I think you've got like a Black Sabbath in there somewhere. You've got like a Kashmir or something like that. I let you put some of your...
That's true.
I let you put some of your K-pop in. Some of your...
like Def Leppard or something.
Yeah, we'll get some more of that. This is... what is this? Black Betty? That's what Mitch Harper asked for his walk-up music. So there you go. Mitch Harper, KSLSports.com, our BYU insider, host of Cougar Sports Saturday, walking up to the plate here. And big news, of course, today, Mitch, is the Big Ten has announced that they're going conference only. At the very least, that means Michigan State is not going to be coming to Provo. Something tells me other things bigger than this loom on the horizon for BYU's schedule this season.
Yeah, definitely, guys. This is kind of the worst case scenario for BYU as an independent, and now it's actually playing itself out with the Big Ten going to conference only, and potentially the Pac-12 tomorrow, as early maybe as tomorrow. There's been reports already out there about the Pac-12, but the Pac-12 presidents are meeting tomorrow on a Zoom call to discuss their fall season. So I think we're going to see this continue to shake out in these conferences. And you know, I keep asking myself, how is BYU going to piece this together? Because there's so many unknowns at the moment.
I have a suggestion.
Oh, here comes Scott.
And this is the silver lining.
Thinking outside the box here, Scott.
Notre Dame.
Just three or four games versus Notre Dame?
No, just a game versus Notre Dame.
Do you think Notre Dame has the guts to finally play that game?
They have to.
They do it during a pandemic. They do not. They could just pay BYU out.
Well, no. I mean, no. They don't have any games scheduled. I mean, Notre Dame's going to be as affected by this as BYU is.
If they do a comp... Yeah,
Notre Dame is going to be fine. They got it paired up with the ACC. So there's been reports out there that the ACC will go to conference only potentially as soon as next week.
And include Notre Dame on that.
The ACC. So yeah. Notre Dame's fine. BYU truly is like the only, you know, lone, true independent that tries to look and feel like a big-time Power 5 program in terms of the way they schedule.
Yeah.
And this is going to be really tough for BYU because, as we know, I mean, independent schedules, the thing that really BYU fans rally around is the games against Power 5 teams. And you cannot get BYU fans excited about the prospects of Liberty, New Mexico State. And then, oh, by the way, all these independent teams are basically across the country.
Yeah.
They can't afford to just go back and forth to play games that – really?
Well, it certainly defeats the purpose of what they're trying to do, and that is limit the travel that they have and try not to put themselves all the way across the country. And having a home and home with Liberty's in Virginia, I think. And so, you know, you think about it and you go, okay, go to and from Virginia for a home and home. I mean, I don't know how that works. What are the actual possibilities for BYU then this season for scheduling?
Well, I do think the independent only schedule is a possibility, and you also pair that up with games against FCS teams like Weber State, Dixie State, Southern Utah, and those might even be up for unlikely too, because the Big Sky, their commissioner came out today and said their season is a 50-50 proposition at best.
Jeez.
Right now. But the independent only option is there. That was reported back in April that the independent programs did have conversations with one another from multiple outlets. So that's a possibility. I think also, too, guys, there is maybe a scenario where you look at the Big 12 Conference and the SEC. There's been no word from them in terms of hitching their league to a conference-only schedule. If those leagues decide to play a 12-game schedule, well, those two leagues, they were impacted by Big Ten and Pac-12 scheduling news, with them potentially going to conference-only schedules. They would need games if they continue with the 12-game route. So that's maybe the best-case scenario for BYU, where the SEC and Big 12 need to fill their dates, and BYU can step right in and make that happen. So those would be some options. And then maybe, the Mountain West Conference looks at BYU and says, hey, come in for a year. You can be the 12th member or, 13th member of the league. Everyone can go round robin, play 12 games, and BYU can be part of the Mountain West Conference again. But it's slim pickings. It's a tough situation right now for BYU.
That would be, honestly, what's weird is that would be beyond the best case scenario if they were to actually get that invite, if everything else cancels out crazy. For a season to be able to play in the Mountain West.
Has BYU, because you hear, there's a lot of different scenarios that have been developed in, the Pac-12. If we go conference only, or if we go, and they've been planning, have you heard anything in your discussions with people at BYU? Have they been planning for this, saying, well, what if this did happen, and what would we do? And do you get any indication, or are they just kind of reacting as the news happens?
Yeah, no, they've had contingency plans. We've been around 15 possible contingency plans from the conversations that I've had about a potential college football season. So this is not anything that was they were not considering. This dates back to all the way in April and May when BYU was exploring the possibility. Now, do I think they wanted this to happen? Clearly not. They wanted to have Michigan State and Minnesota on the schedule, two of the best teams that were going to be on the 2020 slate. But I think it's something that they definitely have interacted conversations with. Now, I wonder, too, guys, how much ESPN could potentially play a role in this for BYU, because ESPN and BYU signed a new TV agreement. It's the first year of that. I got to imagine ESPN wants some return on that investment, even though it's not as much as Power 5 League. Still a financial commitment. I would imagine that somehow, some way, maybe ESPN can broker something for BYU to get them some games. But if all these leagues go to conference only, the Power 5 especially, got to think the Group of Five would follow suit as well. BYU could be in a very difficult spot where, then you're probably hoping as a BYU fan that the entire college football season just gets canceled and everyone tries to restart it up in spring.
Couldn't BYU and Utah still play though? I mean, they're
right here,
45 miles away from each other, and maybe they could just call it a scrimmage.
The problem
they don't
is,
even call
oh,
it a
yeah,
game;
yeah.
You just call it a scrimmage. So it's not even a game. But you have officials and you keep the score and
you keep it closed and there's no media there.
Yeah, whatever.
Just
watch
it on
why
TV.
Why could you not have that game?
Because the Pac-12.
No matter what.
Because the Pac-12 will regulate that and say that they can't have it.
Then have a scrimmage.
Okay, call it a scrimmage. Yesterday I watched your video when you were talking about, it was before our show when you were saying that this is, I think about all these players that their careers could be affected by how this thing goes, and there are going to be a lot of players like Matt Bushman for BYU who are going to look at this, and if it ends up getting pushed to the spring, why would you want to risk playing right before the NFL draft?
Yeah, I think spring is the worst case scenario, honestly. I think that that's the last-ditch effort, but, I mean, you're hearing out from Ohio State's athletic director today that he's now going on the record and saying a season is looking more and more unlikely, potentially. And that's notable when you're getting an AD from Ohio State, one of the biggest and best programs the sport has to offer.
But also a program that could weather financially the storm.
Exactly. And so this might all be the conference-only schedule lip service to try and give more flexibility in the fall to limit the schedule down to 9 games so conferences can adjust accordingly if they do have a team that gets a COVID-19 outbreak on their roster and gives them some wiggle room to make it happen. But this could all just be pushing, kicking the can down to see, when in fact they can actually start this thing up. And I also think too, guys, that a lot of these leagues probably are fearful of the PR nightmare that comes with this. I think that that's something that has to be brought up. I mean, because you look at this age group, they're not, it's an age group that, the impact in terms of deaths. There's only been 175 deaths to this date by the CDC from the age 0 to 24, yet cases are still high, and it's probably hard to keep college-age kids to just completely quarantined all day, every day, except for when they go to the training facility. So, and I don't know if these leagues want to face the PR nightmare of having a whole roster of unpaid athletes getting cases of COVID-19. So I think that plays a role in some of these decisions to go to the conference-only route.
Mitch Harper, he's the host of Cougar Sports Saturday. You can also get his byline at KSLSports.com. And, Mitch, I registered for BYU Virtual Media Day today, and I'm sure you did as well, and that thing's going to be happening July 20th. That's going to be a weird media day, especially considering that 11 days from now, things will look very, very different.
Absolutely. I think that, honestly, that crossed my mind, Alex, because I think, what are they going to talk about? I mean, is it simply just the schedule? Like, what's it? They're going to roll out, you know, 5 games against Liberty? I mean, I guess, like, maybe that Liberty and BYU are going to join forces and form a bubble. Who knows? I mean, anything has got to be on the table here if they want to get the football season off the ground. But, you know, I think for BYU, they got to hope that the Big 12 and SEC try to ride this thing out and stick true to playing a full 12-game schedule, because if that doesn't happen, then it could get really, really dicey for BYU football in 2020.
I think we're headed that direction, already having a dicey season. So, Mitch Harper, we're going to stay on top of this thing. You can always get the updates at KSLSports.com. Mitch, if he hears anything from BYU, you usually hear it first from Mitch Harper. Follow him on Twitter. Go follow him on KSLSports.com. Mitch, thanks for being with us. We're going to take the break here. We got more to go right here. 2-minute drill coming up. Stay with us right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.